point with Sita and friends. Sita, well, and fantastic guests. It's amazing that we're rounding up another year of fantastic guests, 14 years that we've been on air, guests a month.
Well, thank you. Thank you and Danny and Pastor Paul and Allie and Sam and all of us for putting on our shows, and we're like 2 Mondays away from the new year.
The new year.
Or one maybe? Two. One more Monday or two?
Two.
One.
More.
One. One more,
okay,
the 26th.
We're having an argument,
the 26th,
one or two, but nonetheless.
The 26th. First of all, I want to say thank you to you and the team for another successful year on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And yes, and we were able to have our holiday party, which we did at the Olive Garden.
Yes. And we thank had a you to fantastic you and Dr. Turnout. McGee for a yes. fantastic dinner and lovely friends. And
you make a good host.
Thank you. Yeah, well, Ellen was great to sit next to the doctor, knowing he has a hearing impairment, and to keep him busy was so wonderful.
He is a hoot. I love that man. I just adore him.
Yeah,
he's a hoot.
Thank you. And I got a really nice text from our station owner, Kim, that she really had a great time as well. We did miss Pastor Paul and Sam, who couldn't make it. Kim was there as well, who also has a show on our station. And Ellen, what a great lineup today. So Amy is here. Yay!
Yeah,
Amy, you could say hello to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Good morning, or afternoon. We're afternoon.
Afternoon?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. We leave the house in the morning and get here in the afternoon.
The day is flying by.
That's right. That's right. So we have a great show planned today. I know we've spoken before, Ellen, about street racing in Palm Bay. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't believe this. You know, through the magnificent platform, social media, I was able to make contact with a lovely woman. Her name is Lily, and she's going to be calling in this morning to speak about street racing in all over the United States, actually. She lost her daughter to street racing, so to speak, right? And it's pretty sad when you look at the video of her talking about it. And I decided to have her on the show today because I think it's an important issue that a lot of people just don't pay attention to. And I figured we would bring attention to it like we always do on our unscripted, informative, very valuable show here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
It's all about community, you know, and this is no different. And the way that this law reads, well, I'll let Lily talk about it first.
Right,
so.
And Allie's here. Allie's here on a mic with us. She is our resident guest. She's going to be, that's her title here on every Monday on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
I'm titled.
Ellen O'Neill is here. She is my co-host and my right hand. And thank you for all you do for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then Amy Windle, which I don't know why, but your middle name is Smalley, isn't it?
Yes.
Why does everybody ask me, is that really her name? You're going to be on second to talk about the Bridgerton Ball right here in Florida, in Melbourne, Florida. And you know, Amy, a lot of people are looking for something to do after the holidays, and that's where you're coming in really handy.
Yes,
right?
Yes. There's all that build up to the holidays and all the hustle and bustle, and then it's just done. So now we have something to look forward to.
So,
I'm so excited.
Right. So your segment will be all about that. Now, I know that Lily Trujillo is calling in from California, and she's on the phone. And Lily, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, we were having a little show before the show about street racing, and you do have a Facebook page, and I urge our listeners to check it out. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with, of all things, becoming an advocate, and not just an advocate, but a political advocate, and you have made some tremendous changes by the knowledge and the experience and what happened to your family. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, definitely. You know, back in December 7, 2013, I was dropping my daughter off with her girlfriend to go spend the night. I dropped her off. I went home. I got a call a few hours later that she had been in a crash. I got my son. We went to look for her. They told me that she was killed in a crash. I didn't know nothing of what had happened because I was out of it for a while. I was finally able to read the report. When they were going home, the boy that was taking 3 teenagers home, she was sitting in the back seat. So another co-worker They looked at each other, they stopped, and they challenged each other to a street race. He was going over 80 miles an hour. He crashed against an SUV, then against a fence, and the only person that passed away was my daughter. I looked at the report over and over and over, and I said to myself, did she do anything wrong? Was it wrong that she went to a party and that she was going to spend the night? She was 16, high school. Was I a bad mother by doing what I did, by just dropping her off like that? And what should I have done? Why did I let her go? And then I said to myself, if he didn't race, he would have taken her home. So street races would kill her. Within months, I was speaking at my first school. And it just kept going and going and going. I became an advocate. I became everything, like you said, a political advocate, a street safety advocate, mentoring kids, mentoring even offenders that come to my program now from the courts. It changed my life completely, completely, completely. And I never knew that the problem would be so big and how big it was. At the time in 2014, it wasn't really heard of, but it was happening. It was just not so big like it is now, or so blunt like it is now. You know, now you
yeah,
see
yeah.
The
people
time.
Didn't speak about it. Well, first to begin with, the four of us, the five of us in the studio, were very sorry for your loss. It is tragic indeed, and it was not your fault. It really was the act of a person deciding to race on a street that had regulatory signs that were posted that you should not be driving that fast.
Certainly.
You know, so your mission is you're focusing on education.
Yes, yes. My focus is on education and advocacy. As I said, we have different programs. They're called the Fast and Fatal. We go to schools, community events, you name it. The court actually refers the offenders that are cut street racing, doing the donuts, inspecting the takeovers, excessive speed. All those offenders, they go with my diversion program, which we mentor them, and it's a different kind of approach, of course, because they usually get, young adults. And sometimes, believe me or not, we get the 40-year-olds, which is very surprising, but we do, that somehow decided to race. So
midlife crisis. Right, and it's such a dangerous and deadly, I don't know what you call it. It's not a sport. It's just stupidity.
It's adrenaline.
It's an adrenaline sport for
people. And unfortunately, it's not regulated. And it shouldn't certainly be on our city streets where people could get hurt.
How many times
should be on a track?
Right. And how many times do we have to say to people, driving is not a right. It's a privilege. Mm-hmm. It's a privilege to be able to purchase a car, get your car insurance, and get from point A to point B. Why people take it that extreme to race on a private road is beyond my imagination. So, Lily, so talk to us a little bit about that day. Your daughter was, I guess she went to the party, she came home, and from what I read, you were totally out of it when you heard the news. I mean, what happened after that? I mean, you said, okay, I'm going to take this tragedy and turn it into advocacy?
No, actually, I'm telling you, she's the boss. And she was bossy when she was 16. She's still bossing me around. That's what I call her.
Yes.
For her, literally. And she gave this to me. It was given to me. And sometimes I also say to myself, the driver gave this organization to me. He gave this to me. He gave me a different job. He changed my life forever. I was asked by May. She passed away in December. In May, a friend of hers told me, can you come and speak at my school? And I'm like, okay. And I had a poster of her that we used, you know, that my girlfriend had used for the day of the funeral. And I'm walking inside the high school. She would have been a senior then. And I see all these teenagers walking around having lunch. I'm just thinking to myself, this is where she would be right now. And I'm walking around with my daughter's poster, and she's dead. And I was invited to speak, and they told me, hi, you will be our speaker today. And I'm like, I'm not a speaker. I didn't think like that of myself. And I sat down, and the gentleman that spoke about drugs spoke. The lady that spoke about alcohol spoke, and then it was me. And I spoke about street racing, and I spoke what it can do for you. And I spoke to over 500 teenagers, and I knew that was it. The next high school, I had pictures in ex-high school. I had a name for my organization, and it just rolled from there. It kept going to what it is right now, and it just December 7th was 9 years, and I was thinking to myself, I don't feel like it's been 9 years. I feel like I'm running on mud. I don't feel it. I feel like it was like maybe a year ago. Like, I do not feel that because time slowed down for me so much that I've been doing so much at the same time. But I knew 100% that I was not going to let any parent experience the loss of a child. I thought I was in a movie when I was sitting there doing that report.
Yeah, it felt unreal. I saw the videos that you sent for me, and I was like, wow, this is so unreal. I felt, I could put
it's
myself, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the majority of these street racers, they are between the ages of 17 and 24, and a lot of them don't even own a car, and they can't even go to a bar. That's what's so sick about this thing. You know, like, they get the adrenaline rush from being in these cars, or I don't know where they get the cars.
Well, and you look at some of the machinery that they put on these cars. I mean, it's not just, it's the racing tires, and this is not an inexpensive hobby for people to do. And for what they do to the vehicles on top of putting it at risk to being on the street and with a possible accident, you know, I can understand show cars, right? They drive them at 35 miles an hour. They try not to let...
In a parade
someplace, right? But these street racers put thousands and thousands of dollars in cars that don't necessarily need that.
Just for that rush.
Just for that rush.
So, Lily, is it true that during the coronavirus, the pandemic, this routine became quite... I mean, a lot of people were doing this street racing just for kicks, for fun, to get out of the house?
Well, yes, and definitely what happened is that all the money they got by the government, and they were not working. So they had all these, before maybe they couldn't afford it. You think about it, they weren't working, they were getting all this money through the pandemic, they used it to soup up their cars.
So there was a surge,
but they had the money to do it that they didn't have before, you know. Another thing that I have seen, and because I speak to them all the time, and we are very mentoring when we talk to them, because usually the offenders that we get, they got in trouble, but they didn't kill anyone. And we were talking to them, we do ask them, and one of the things that one of the offenders told me, and I don't know why you do it. He says, you know what? I go to the track sometimes, but I don't want to wait. I have to wait there, I have to sit there, maybe to do a burnout or maybe to do a race. And sometimes it's just the adrenaline of just go ahead and take over a street and do a donut, right?
Right.
And I told him, well, what makes you not do it? He said, my girlfriend. She gets very upset when I do it, so I promise her that I won't do it anymore. And I told him, also, love might make you change your mind, right?
Right.
And I told him, let me give you a quote that my daughter put on her Twitter days before she passed away. She put, only love and death can change all things.
Right.
And she passed away 4 or 6 days later. I told them, let love change your life, not death.
Right. A lot of them do these crazy antics too, just to get themselves a video to post on TikTok or Instagram. A lot of them do it just because they're bored. They have nothing else to do. I mean, I was reading about it, and I'm like, these people it's like they have a mental issue. They're blocking the roadways. They're evading the police. They don't listen to law enforcement. I mean, you're hearing them when you speak with a lot of these people. But what can we all do as the lay public to spread the word that, hey, this is not something you ought to be doing?
Well, this is one of the things that I saw about the new bill that you guys just got. I think it's going to help tremendously, where they will get fined, they will get in trouble for putting things on social media. I think it's great. I think it's definitely going to help, because that's what's making them get, you know, happy and excited. I believe to the public, the more awareness you can create among your peeps and telling them what to do and what not to do, parents speak to their kids, see what they're doing, see what they're doing with their cars. I mean, especially if they're underage, throw a governor in there. They don't have to know. You get in the new car, you put a governor in their car. Then they're not even allowed to go over the speed limit anyway. And I tell that to everyone. Put a governor, put a system, check on your kids, mentor them before, have them take classes. I mean, it's really, really important to get them before. That's why I go to school, because you have to get them before. And, that, you know, whatever we can do, right, as parents. And unfortunately, they are young, and we were all young ones, right? We all make so many mistakes. We're all maybe lucky that we survived some of the crazy stuff we did, right?
Oh, yeah.
We need to mentor them and help them understand, and also the communities as well on our side.
Well, you know, the film, The Fast and the Furious, it grossed about $5 billion, right? And there's a huge public interest in street racing. Sometimes on the big screen, it's people have this romantic relationship with these things.
Yeah.
But in real life, this is not something people should be patterning their life after. No teenager, no adult male or female should be saying, wow, this is so glamorous that I want to get into a car and race the crap out of it on the roadways and have no regard for my life or someone else's life or the insurance industry that will send up everybody's rates, right?
And it's so impactful now because so many people can't afford a car. So, so many people are using transportation, walking, riding their bikes, and so forth. So, it just makes it that much more dangerous. Someone walking home late from work, you know, in a neighborhood area, those kinds of things, with the street racing possibilities is just tragic. I love, Lily, I love the bill. I was looking at, right before you called in, I was looking at the bill that Governor DeSantis had passed, and it allows even citizens, like what you had said, it's not just about them posting it on social media, but it allows citizens, if you witness street racing going on, to take a video and actually send it into the local police department. In Florida, I'm not sure if it's available in other states, but those people, much to your conversation earlier, would get a fine or at least some type of reprimand that to not do it again.
Well, yeah, and what part of illegal these people don't understand, Lily?
You know, it's like I said, for them, I always tell everyone, I mean, you know it's illegal. You know, you could hurt yourself or hurt someone, right? You know you're risking your life. You know you're risking yourself from going to jail, and you still do it. I mean, what can you do is mentor the heck out of them. You know, talk to them, talk as much as you can. And they might see it as, oh my God, now look at all these bills. These bills are gonna, if this bill is helping tremendously, I think it's going to be life-saving, definitely. And every state that I've seen, the United States that has a problem, are coming up with different bills, like taking their license away, crashing their cars, selling, taking the cars away completely. That's coming in California. They're going to start taking their cars away. We have another one that came through that's called Ryan's Law, which if you are warned, let's say you get a ticket for street racing, being gonna take over, doing the donuts, but you do it again and you kill someone, you will be charged for murder after that. It will not be a misdemeanor anymore.
So what, the accident that took your daughter's life, Lily, was anyone charged in that accident?
Yes, the driver. The driver was a weak child of 18, and he went to jail now, but he only did 7 months, and he was out on house arrest after that.
Wow.
So he got a slap in the hand. That's one of the reasons why, when that happened to me, because when you're mourning, you don't know, and when you lose someone like that, you have no idea. It's like you got, you know, run over by a truck, and all of a sudden you're in court. All of a sudden you're doing legal things, and you don't know what the heck is going on. So anybody can tell you, this is what you stand, this is what you do. So what we do is we advocate, we help those people that are going to court, because we want to be strong for them, because they are mourning. They're not in the position to say, these are my rights, this is what I should be doing. You know, they don't know, you know. So I didn't know. I just stood there not knowing that they had already been in agreement with the district attorney, with the judge, of what his sentencing was going to be. And he got, you know, tried as a juvenile. But he didn't come out the same. He came out angry. He changed his life forever as well. So my mission was also to prevent these kids from going to prison, to going to jail, so their lives cannot be altered that way and changed forever. Because once you go into prison, it will, you know, you won't be coming out the same. And I really, really was hoping that when this gentleman came out, that he would even maybe help me, that that was not the case when he came out. He was very angry. He was very changed. And I was just kept doing what I'm doing until right now. It really, really changed my life forever. And the only way that I can have her is by doing what I do. So I'm just never going to stop. This is the only way.
So Lily, when you speak with groups, are you finding that this street racing is cultural? Because I read someplace where people just, they bond over this stuff. And there was a surge in places like Georgia, New York, New Mexico. And the participants, they look forward to this. It's like they get together, they congregate, and it's part of their culture. Are you seeing something like that as well?
Oh, definitely. So there's one thing, there's the car culture that's been since the 50s, right? Even before the 50s. And what they're doing with this new movement, as they call it, is they are destroying the car culture. But it is. Once you get together, it's about the car. It's no longer about what race you are, what's your social preference, if you're rich, if you're poor. It's about your car. And that's their bonding that they have, which could be done the right way when you go to a drag strip, when you go to a racetrack, and then when you go and show your car in a car club. There's nothing wrong with it. That's one thing we talk about them. There's nothing wrong as long as you don't do it in the street.
That's correct. They can go talk to the people at NASCAR. If you want to race that bad, go and race the proper way, but not on the roadways. When I saw your video, when I heard about your child, and then I read about other people who died in Phoenix, Arizona, in Atlanta, a 52-year-old died, then a 28-year-old woman died in Phoenix. And I'm like, why is this even allowed? Like, where's the respect for fellow citizens and law enforcement?
Well, I wonder, too, because I was looking at the map. By the way, there's a fantastic map and a fantastic website, by the way. StreetRacingKills.org is the website. And it shows a picture of the United States and kind of a crash map, if you will. And I noticed the states that seem to have the most activity are the ones that have or don't have a automobile registration type of thing that you'd have to pull through once a year and get inspection. Mm-hmm. Like in New Jersey, they have inspection. I don't see a whole lot of cars represented as an active area in New Jersey specifically. So do you think that that's a common denominator when there's no registration or inspection in that state?
I agree. And a lot of, yes, it could be that a lot of states like well, California doesn't have no more driver's education at the schools. So that's, I mean, each state has different things that they don't have, unfortunately.
Sure.
And that makes a big difference. Yeah, that's why. And each state, like I said, are creating their own laws. And I knew from the beginning when this happened to my daughter and I that a lot of people were going to have to die in order for things to be happening.
Yeah,
I knew. You know, when more people, it's like Mad Mother's Second Strong Drivers, right? That's what happened. A lot of people were dying from people driving under the influence. And I said, when this becomes that big, more people are going to get involved. More legislators are going to do something about it. Why wait? That's why I kept doing what I was doing, right?
So how do people get the? If I have a child, a child at school that I think that they would benefit, obviously, from this program. What programs do you have, and how could the schools get in touch with you to get these programs at their locations?
Oh, definitely. So we do have a phone number and a website and an email. They can call us, and we will go to them. We travel. We go to schools. We do it on Zoom. Any way you want us to, we're there. We have different programs for adults and communities, for teenagers, and for young adults. So everything's there. For schools, what they have to do is just give us a call. We're actually going to Florida soon, so we're excited.
So listen up, Palm Bay Police.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Lily Trujillo Puckett. She's the founder and executive director of Street Racing Kills, and she's calling in from California. We're speaking about the death of her daughter and her advocacy to stop this terrible thing that kills children, street racing, drag racing. So Lily, not only is this street racing causing deaths, but it's also causing people to disobey the ordinances for noise. They're leaving litter behind. People have to talk about end-of-life concerns. Some of them bring weapons with them. This seems to be like a party that's gone wild for a lot of these people.
Definitely. We call them parties on wheels. And that's what we tell everybody when we talk to them, when we mentor them. I go, remember, it's not your party. It's everyone's party, which means anybody can be there. Like you said, people with a gun, people with a knife, people getting shot, people going crazy. But they're luring all these people because they have different names for the parties. Like, it's going to be bubbles, it's going to be lasers, it's going to be this. So there are parties on wheels where some of them, honestly, are innocent people. Some of them are just a friend of a friend. Let's go to this party. Let's go over here. So different kinds of parties. They can literally take your life or you can be injured. So it is so important to tell these to the communities, to our children, to everyone that we know, to our neighbors, to be aware that we can do definitely do something about it, because at the end of the day, we are saving lives. We're sparing a parent from losing a child, a brother from losing a sister, a wife, an uncle, and everything. So at the end of the day, that's the same mission that we all have, just by opening our mouth and saying something.
Yeah, in this case, they're using the car as a deadly weapon. That's totally. That's what it is. It's a deadly weapon. So Lily, if we wanted to, if somebody's listening to the show right now, can you give us your website? Maybe someone could go on, because I noticed that you do talk a lot about what's happening with the insurance rates and things like that as well, because it affects everyone. It just doesn't affect the person who died or the person who hit their head and ended up in the emergency room and send up the medical costs and the insurance, but it affects us who are drivers and who are trying to do the right thing, and our insurance rates as well. So give us a website so people can go on and look at all the stuff you guys are advocating for.
Thank you so much. It's www.streetracingkills.org.
Right, and a lot of these people, are they racing for money or they're just doing it for the adrenaline and the rush?
It is just the adrenaline and the rush and the fun and the new thing that they do. Like I said, a lot of them call them the movement, which I have no idea where they got that from. A lot of them, honestly, you see a lot of street racing is spontaneous as well. That's why it's called a street competition. They just have a cool car, somebody gets next to you, and you decide to race. You might never, ever have been at a takeover before. You might never been on a drag strip. You've never been about speed, but all of a sudden you have someone next to you challenging. You take the challenge, and you can crash, and you can hurt yourself or kill someone. Many, many street races that have ended up at have been in spontaneous street race. So that's why education is so vital.
And fantastic website, Lily. Thank you so much for sharing all of that information. On that website, you can join the movement today, request a speaker. You can certainly donate to the organization and to the cause and help Lily get this all over the United States. And we'll certainly do our part in making sure that all of your information is shared. But we're going to have to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors. So stick around. We'll be right back with Eenie Wendell on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you.
Furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473. 2473 for Cloud 9.
When you need medical care,
furniture,
need it fast. MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. Just call 321-MEDFAST.
No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine-in or takeout as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
This is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Choctaw Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at
There's something special about the place
today.
We call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and I have to say, I learned a lot from our first segment with Lily Trujillo calling in from California about street racing. I mean, I've always known there was street racing and drag racing and people getting this high from it, but her telling us her personal story about losing her daughter in an automobile accident where someone decided to race in a car that were filled with teenagers, taking people's lives. I mean, if you want to kill your own self, go for it, but you shouldn't be taking other... I mean, I shouldn't say go for it. Call a mental health counselor. But you know what I mean.
Yeah,
if people want to bungee jump, you're taking your own life into your hands at that point.
Right.
And even with the racing thing and people spending all this money on their cars. And I understand the obsession to doing things like that. I don't know where they get the money for it, but nonetheless, I understand it. But all of that stuff, even if you think about it in Greece, they did it in a gully underneath a bridge, you know, where nobody else was going to get hurt. It was going to be
I don't agree
cars.
With doing it anywhere, Miss Ellen.
But even still,
to me, if you
want to
race a
streets,
car, do it on the
race
tracks.
Right.
I mean, like you said before, if you want to bungee jump, you want to jump out of an airplane,
yeah,
you want those kind of things, you're taking your own life into your hands.
Doing it in the woods.
Right. But when you take other people in your car and you do it, it is just plain wrong. Right. It is Christmas time. If you have a mental issue, please. We just saw what happened to Stitch from Ellen.
Twitch.
Right? Yep. Call a mental health counselor. Call your friends. Call your family.
They have that new
988
number now.
Talk to someone. Yep. It's not kosher. You know, it's not good. Anyways, our second segment is a little bit more uplifting.
It is.
because we have Innie here, and we are going to be talking about, she made me watch Bridgerton, two series, back to back, because she said, hey, Sita, we're having a Bridgerton ball. Will you attend? And I said, of course, without even knowing what it was about, and I loved it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you are welcome. Yes, the Bridgerton ball, we are very excited about it, and we decided that we would go with that fundraiser because if you've read the books or you've seen the series on Netflix, it is about debutantes and balls, except it's in the early 1800s. And so our organization, the South Brevard Debutante Assembly Committee, is a 501c3. We have a program here that has been around since 1969, and it's actually a leadership program. It's for girls. They apply in their junior year, but the program is 15 months long and runs through their senior year. It culminates with our own ball that is over Memorial Day weekend, and we teach the girls manners and etiquette and networking, and also their own personal brands as far as social media is concerned, because these ladies are getting ready to head off to college. And we partner with Serene Harbor, that is our charity that we support, so that the girls can learn about what constitutes a healthy relationship, because as we know, that is very important and can stretch across any social, economic, you know, status.
So. And as we know, the lives of women have changed so much. Our roles have changed so much. So it's such a great, refreshing that you're making it a leadership program, because it really does hopefully bring in all of the elements now that what it takes to be a woman in this society.
That's true. And we promote that, you know, they get involved with the community and they volunteer. And
scholarships.
And in scholarships and that type of thing. So the Bridgerton Ball that we are hosting on Saturday, January 7th at the Hilton Rialto is going to be help us start a scholarship program for girls in our community that would like to be a debutante but maybe can't quite afford the fee that is involved. So we've always wanted to do this. All the ladies that actually are on our board and participate are all volunteers. We pay to be on the board, and the money that we charge for the program goes right back into our debutantes. So in other words, there's never been extra money. So we are doing this fundraiser, and we thought we would tie in the debutante theme.
I love it. I mean, I tell you, there's no denying that Bridgerton, right, am I saying it correctly, is one of the most watched series on Netflix.
Yes.
And it's set in the 19th century. The costumes, the hairstyles, everything is just great. It's wonderful.
Yeah, so we just thought that we would kind of ride those coattails, and everyone can come and play Bridgerton with us. So you can wear your favorite gown or the gentleman.
And it's open to the public.
Yes, this is open to the public. And it's going to be from 6 to 9 p.m. on Saturday, January 7th. So that gives us something to look forward to after all the hustle and bustle of the holidays and prep and all that stuff. I always, you know, hate that it's over with.
Yeah.
Like, and when it comes to
a screeching halt on the 31st, right?
Yes, exactly.
So Bridgerton, the series, it's all about the competitive marriage market of Regency London High Society.
Yes.
And I have to say, after watching Bridgerton, I fell in love with marriage all over again. Because, you know, a marriage is a contract.
Right.
It's a contract between two people. And it's what you know before you go into this contract, right? Of course, we know people have to get divorced for whatever reasons. But Bridgerton makes every girl dream again. It's like, you watch that film, and I think the Bridgerton family, all the children, it's alphabetical order. I don't know if you knew it was.
Yes, yes.
It was, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we saw the first series was with, the Duke. Everybody loved the Duke. And now the second series is over. Why did you decide on this series versus other Netflix ones?
Well, we decided because it was the opening, the first episode is Daphne is making her debut in front of the Queen. And so we're like, oh, it's debutantes. So, and of course, it's that more antiquated version of debutantes. But still, since we are a debutante program, we thought, hey, that's a great tie-in. Along with the fact that we love that the queen chooses the diamond of the season. And at our event, we are also going to have a diamond of the season. However, so that it doesn't fall on any one person to have to pick
the diamond,
we are going to have a raffle, and the winner of the raffle will be our diamond of the season. And we are also going to have Lady Whistledown at our ball. And for those that do our sponsorship packages, they will be announced by Lady Whistledown. And they will also be listed in Lady Whistledown Society papers, which is technically our program for the event. So they can make up their own title. They can be, you know, Lady Biggie.
You know what I was thinking would be great? Are you going to have a red carpet so that when people come in, you know, they could say, Lady so-and-so is here.
Sure.
The Lord is here. The Duke is here.
Yes.
The Count. So, Ali, I'm not sure. Have you watched the series? You and Alan, have you watched it at all?
No, Netflix isn't in my house right this minute, but mostly because I just moved, so we haven't settled on new subscriptions and stuff. But I was intrigued. Annie, when you talked about it's, you know, the debutante piece of it is the classic part of it.
Yes,
but it's so much more modern than it was, because you're talking about project management skills.
Yes.
and
mannerisms, good respect and mannerisms for young ladies of today,
but
too.
But I don't want to give anybody, I was trying to look at it from the point of view of the listeners, that if they've never heard of this before, it's not, oh, we're just going to dress your sweet little girl up, put a bow in her hair, and everybody's going to be thrilled to meet her, da-da-da-da. It's more of a program that makes them prepared to be a wife and a mother and run a household.
Team and a team player, too.
And then be able to work with others and all those kinds of things that, guess what, it's going to look fabulous on the resume.
Right. Yes, so regardless if they're going to college or if they would like to be part of a sorority, we offer that as well, help in that regard. It's a 15-month program, our program. Mm-hmm. And so the...
Now, you meet at the Ogalia Club once a month? Is that where they meet?
Yes. Some of the things, however, we're having to switch locations due to the fact that they're going under construction and remodeling. But, yes, we meet at different venues, and we cover different topics. One of our events is event planning and social media, so that the girls understand that they are creating their own brand on social media, regardless of whether they're going to college, a sorority, or getting a job. As we all know, that all companies now check out everyone's social media. So it's very important that they are aware of what they're putting out there. So we work with them on that. We also work with them on how to plan an event, because at some point, they're going to have to do it for their job or for college or sorority or even just for themselves. So we, you know, work with them on that. We also have an expert, Jacqueline Whitmore, come in from, she's owns the Palm Beach School of Protocol, and she does a whole day on a workshop, and we call it a lifestyle workshop, because she not only covers etiquette, but she also covers, you know, how you should dress for a job and, you know, what you should do in an interview and those types of things. And then we also have Serene Harbor come in and talk to the girls about domestic violence, but also what constitutes a healthy relationship.
So you're preparing them for the world,
yes,
for the future. And what I like about the Sub Brevard debutantes as well, one of my friend's daughter went through it, is about time management. They teach a lot about leadership skills, time management, how to face the world. I wish every little girl could go through this program.
Yes.
Because I think it not only is it ladylike and respectful and teaches you how to face the world, but it prepares you for your future as well.
And it's a great place for them to start learning these skills and also maybe make a mistake, because it's on a smaller scale. It's not like you're now at a job and you've made some sort of, you know, social mistake or whatnot.
What is the age group for someone to be accepted into the program?
Well, we actually open applications their junior, the spring of their junior year. So right now we're getting ready to start, believe it or not, because we work a little bit ahead, the class of 2024. We are accepting applications, and it is a 15-month program. So
it's a commitment.
Yes, it's a commitment, but it's doable, you know, as far as we don't have things every month. But over the summer, we do go to Serene Harbor, and we clean the shelter so that the girls are able to see the Serene Harbor shelter. I think it's more impactful when they actually physically see it, not just hear about it.
Right.
Also, they are required to host a charity party. And that is with, they do it with several other debutantes. They come together. They have to work and plan this party. And then the other debutantes that attend the party bring items for Serene Harbor. So whatever the current need might be, we ask them to bring that instead of a hostess gift. Normally when you go to a party, you bring a hostess gift. We have the girls bring gifts for Serene Harbor, and that's how we support
Serene Harbor. And for our listeners who are tuning in, Serene Harbor is one of the domestic violence shelter here in Brevard County, Florida. And the proceeds from the debutante ball, the 50-50 raffle, I understand, will be going to Serene Harbor.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think what you're doing too, Eenie, in this program and your whole life, your existence in Brevard, it's about charity.
Yes.
You do a lot for charity, and it's great when people, and you don't have to be affluent to join this program.
No.
You don't have to be from high society. You just have to have a willingness to want to go out and be the best you can be in the world.
That is very true. That is, you put it very succinctly. Thank you, Sita.
Yeah, well, and that's what I see, because when I see you, and I've attended a couple of their end of the program affairs at the Hilton when they had it, and it's great. I see the dads. Even though some of the girls are from divorced parents, the dads show up. An uncle shows up.
Yes.
Some male figure in the family. Sometimes I think there are single moms even that show up to walk those girls in those beautiful gowns to, I mean, up the path of whatever it is that they were seeking.
Yes, so it's really the culmination of the program. The ball is the icing on the cake that we do for our girls. That actually happens over Memorial Day weekend. The Bridgerton Ball is open to the public, and that, you know, anyone is welcome to come. We have tickets for sale on Eventbrite. So if you Google, or search, I should say, on Eventbrite, Bridgerton Ball, it will come up. And at the ball itself, we are going to have from 6 to 7 p.m., for those of you that are familiar with Brad Stein, who is our own celebrity dance instructor right here.
Dancing with the Stars.
Yes. And he is going to come and give a group dance lesson from 6 to 7 at the Bridgerton Ball. So that is a, you know, part of your ticket. And we will have an appetizer buffet. There will be a cash bar. As I said, Lady Whistledown will be there to
and Lady McGee will be
and
there.
And Lady McGee will be there.
Maybe Lady O'Neill and Lady Tambor. You know, I want you to stress that, though, because a couple of people, I have been telling a lot of people, and they're interested in coming. I want you to stress that it is open to the public, because someone texted me and said, I think this is only for people who are wanting to see one of the debutantes, you know, finish their program. They didn't think it was for the public, and I said, no, it is for the public.
Yeah, this
please
is not,
read the flyer.
Right, this is not about our debutantes, you know.
At all.
It's really just...
it's an Eenie party.
It's yes. Yay!
Just like yes. She did the one with Audrey Hepburn.
Oh my gosh, Sita, you're too funny. But yeah, no, this is actually for the public. It's for everyone to come out. I keep posting on my Facebook, come out and play Bridgerton with us. So, you know, it's a chance to get dressed up and dance. We will have a live string quartet there playing music from Bridgerton, and just to have a great, fun evening. And also, like I said, meet Lady Whistledown. Get a dance lesson. We will have some raffle baskets as well. All the raffle proceeds go to Serene Harbor, so it's a double charity, really.
And the music is from the 21st century, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, good,
it's,
good, good.
So if you listen, if you watch the
no
show
minuet.
On, if you watch the show on Netflix, they take modern music. Taylor Swift is one of them. and make it sound like it is, you know, Regency era music.
Even Ariana Grande and Shawn Mendes and
Violet
Street. Yes.
Yes. So it's modern music set to string, which makes it sound Regency-like. And it's a lot of fun. We're going to have so much fun. And as I said, the proceeds from the raffle go to Serene Harbor. And we are starting a scholarship program for girls that would like to become a debutante with our program, but unfortunately just, you know, can't quite swing it, because we actually do an application process. And that can be found at our website at sbdebutantes.org. And our application for the class of 2024 is online there. And you can see our whole program that we do. And we're, you know, very excited that the class of 24 will be our 55th year. And we are strictly run by volunteers. We're just a lot of ladies that are passionate about the program.
And we need it. Let's be honest. A lot of us have been to parties or weddings or events where we say, my goodness, some of these ladies have no manners.
Yes.
I'm not ashamed to say it, even in my own family. I have to say, my goodness. So it's good when somebody take the time, energy, and put in the effort to teach others how to behave. We live in a world where we're judged by our behaviors.
Indeed.
Right? And so it's good to be able to have young lady with proper etiquette and good mannerisms, right? So I've read that the voice of Lady Whistledown is actually Julie Andrews.
Yes, but
so are we going to have a person with a British accent?
Yes,
there that night.
We actually have one of the ladies on our committee. Her friend is British and has agreed to come and be Lady Whistledown. So we're very excited about that. So it will be an authentic British accent, not somebody trying to fake it. So,
what about the books? Are we going to have maybe a collection of the Bridgerton books? To raffle off? That would be a good raffle
that's
item.
That's a good raffle. That's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get right on that.
Yeah, that's a good raffle item. Yeah.
Yes, actually we have, so we are all putting together raffle baskets, and one of them, oh my gosh, it's so cute. We'll be posting it on Facebook. It has a teapot and tea, and it's very Bridgerton-esque. And then there's another one that is similar to that. We also will have a vendor there that is going to be making, she does all types of crafts, and she's going to have Bridgerton-themed items for sale at the event. And also, we are going to host our own little market. We'll have some accessories in case there's something you forgot to go with your outfit. So we're going to have some Bridgerton accessories available. And there's several photo ops as well. So
maybe you should have a person doing hairstyles.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine if somebody showed up and they won?
I think Sita just found herself in position on the committee.
Well, you know what it is? Because for years, I have watched women and men evolve.
Right.
And we see the decline of society in some areas of life. And so it's very important to me, like people say, please, good morning, how are you, good night, hello. And like I'll walk into work sometime and say good morning, and people don't even say good morning anymore. You know, so it's kind of like you want to bring that back. And if people don't have grandmothers and cousins and aunties and neighbors and people in their lives to teach them, this is where programs like the South Brevard Debutante Society, I should say, comes in very handy, that a group of women who are not paid for a job that they're doing, they are doing it for your sons and daughters and for the betterment of the society.
And I will say that the majority of the ladies on the committee have had daughters go through the program, which is why we're so passionate about the program, because we saw what it did for our daughters. And so we want to keep perpetuating that, because I know for my own daughter, my older daughter, she was very shy and introverted. And she went through the program, and then her next year, at her freshman year at college, she became treasurer of the student government. She was student volunteer of the year at her campus. You know, she ended up volunteering with the provost. So
self-confidence through the roof.
Yeah, I said to her, oh my goodness, where was this girl in high school? And she said, it was the debutantes, Mom. It gave me confidence. And so I was like,
and
oh my
Amy's daughter is the most beautiful policewoman in Indian. Is it Indian Atlantic or Indian Harbor?
Indian Harbor, yes.
In Indian Harbor.
Yes.
I mean, I just love her. She looks like she should be in a Disney princess, but she's a cop.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
And the other one is headed that way. Maybe. I don't know.
She also went through the program, and she is a 911 dispatcher. And so she is also looking into becoming a police officer. And so you just never know. But the part of the component to that is, I think, the Serene Harbor component, because both of them are interested in domestic violence and helping
prevention and education.
Yes.
So give us a website for someone who wanted to go and look up the Sub Brevard Debutante Society here in Brevard and to get tickets to the Bridgerton Ball.
So the website is sbdebutantes.org. And also, you can look at it there, the Bridgerton Ball, and also our program. And you can also go to eventbrite.com. And that Bridgerton Ball, it will pop right up. And you can get your tickets. And we will look forward to having a grand time.
Well, I joined the Bridgerton Facebook page. And I've been telling them private messages to send a Duke our way, if you don't mind. Or send, you know, of course, it's such a great cast because there's so many minorities. There's the Indian girl who's the main star in the second season. And then you have the biracial guy who is the Duke. And then you have all these beautiful brown and white and people. The queen is mixed herself, right?
Yes.
So it's kind of, it makes you want to watch. So are we going to have a queen?
We are working on having a queen. So, and we do have someone that purchased the package of the Duke and Duchess of Hastings. So we did different packages. We still have the Viscountess Bridgerton package available. And also Prince Friedrich, there's a package for him. And I think the other packages are all sold. But
Ali, I think you should get a couple of those folks where you're at to put on their gowns and go. Because, you know, I look at life this way. Every day we wake up is a great day, right? Every day we wake up, we have an opportunity to go out there and give the world our best. And it's not over until it's over. We're not ready to give up yet on life and fun things. And we're educating people while we're doing it as well.
I had one quick question for Eenie.
Yes.
It's if people are coming, do you bring a date or is this a women's event?
This is anybody event.
Okay.
So we do actually have some students coming.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, on the Eventbrite, it says 16, they can come with an adult. So, we would take, if you're coming with your, if parents are bringing their children, like 14, 15 is okay as well.
Right. We will make sure we share all of this great information on our Facebook page and promote it out. I'm so excited about the Bridgerton Ball. So, I was already looking up gowns for you, Sita. So
I have one. I have to get it altered.
Thanks again for another fantastic edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Eenie, it's always great to see you. Happy Hanukkah, everybody, and whatever else you're celebrating this week. Enjoy. We'll see you next week right here at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Talk